podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 21 and the rest of 2024. This is one of a number of videos and podcasts this week where we'll be looking at our FPL New Year resolutions. My name is Joe and today I'm joined by Fantasy Football Scout's Chris James to find out what he will do differently this year. Chris, welcome. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a little bit hot and sweaty. Sorry, this is not like some new look. This is not some sort of weird. I don't know what would be the Fantasy Football Scout only fans. Not that I've been that, but no. I've just been.
What an absolutely frightening proposition!
That's one of my resolutions, is to try and be a bit fitter this year. So hopefully next time you see me on this, it'll be a bit more like that and a bit less like that.
Okay, well, that's apt that you're in the midst of your personal
new year. It's a new year.
New year. So let's see if you can be fitter and more agile with your fantasy football team this year as well. What I've got is I've got a couple of community resolutions to read out. I'll read those out in a sec. And then Chris will reveal what he is going to be doing differently in 2024. So it's a good chance to sort of look at those sort of mistakes and successes so far. Before we do all of that, just a reminder, please press that like button. It really helps us out. And please subscribe as well so you can keep up to date with all our latest videos and podcasts. And check out fantasyfootballscout.co.uk for all the latest offers around the membership. So all the tools and gadgets there to help you soar up your mini leagues. There, the comparison tool, make your own tables as well. Goals imminent table. I always plug that. And okay, Chris, I've got a couple of community resolutions here. We'll have a look at those. And so I'll read these out to you and you can sort of give your views and see whether that's something you might do as well. So this is from Mick Banner. He says, always do the transfer when you can. I missed the deadline because work went crazy. He ended up burning a transfer, completely missed out on players he wanted to get. And he's going to end up taking a minus four this week, he thinks. So
I think that's good advice. I mean, the thing with transfers is a lot of people, this is going to tie into one of the things I've got to say, a lot of people are advising you to wait to that very last minute. You know, you might get a leak, a team news, whatever. But I historically haven't done that. I've not necessarily gone super early, but I've kind of, you know, looked at it properly a couple of days before the deadline or a day before the deadline. And if I'm kind of broadly happy with my decision, I'll just go then. Because precisely for that, yeah, you there's nothing more frustrating than thinking you're having your strategy, know what you're going to do, and then you're seeing it play out and you're seeing, you know, that play get a hole and you look at your team and go, I forgot to do that. And it, you know, it's, oh, you play the Sky game a lot and it happens more because you've got to change during the game week. Yeah. Same with the Champions League one, which is, I struggle with that. I must admit, doing that, I always tend to forget. So, but I think 100% I don't think it matters if you do it a day before the deadline. So I think it's a good resolution to not always leave it to the last minute. Because the game can go down, as we've seen a couple of times, you know. Even the kind of experts have been caught out when the game went down and they couldn't, you know, and then everybody gets up in arms about it. You go, well, you have had a week to do this. The fact you waited till 5 minutes.
Especially when it's a Saturday morning, or Friday night as well. You're busy at work, you're coming home and it's sort of your commute time.
Obviously, Friday night does a bit of a pain, but like usually Friday nights or first thing Saturday morning is often the time where I kind of put some time into it. You just like finish the week and you're focusing it. Obviously, over Christmas and other periods like that, there's so many deadlines that you kind of, it's hard to kind of keep track necessarily.
We lose track of the day. I mean, even yesterday I was, what day is it? What day is it now? I don't even know anymore.
I know that Christmas does that, doesn't it? It's suddenly, what is it? It's because it's like, you're thinking it's Christmas Day or New Year's Day. What actual day is it?
Going to the Sky game. The Sky game do a good thing because you can do it, you choose a captain each day and you can do transfers each day within the game week. So each day is a match day within the game week. I think the Champions League game does similar.
Champions League's similar, but the Champions League is only for two game days really.
With the Sky one, they do quite a good thing where at the beginning of the week you can set your captains for the whole week.
Okay.
So that's a really good thing. And actually if you forget, it does it automatically and it picks basically the most expensive player, which is usually Haaland or Salah or whoever.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite good. So that's quite a nice thing. It's sort of using a bit of AI, maybe, or guesswork. So that's quite good. But I sometimes I make a deadline a bit earlier than I should, maybe on a Thursday or a Friday, just because I know Friday's just going to be a nightmare for me work-wise, and you can do that. But yeah, lots of people get caught out by that. Here's another one. Early transfers can be beneficial early season. So this is gone, 2023, gone. But the longer the season goes on, information starts to trump that. And next year, this is what Wilshere is saying, next year I will attack team value for about the first 15 game weeks or so, and then shift gears to patience mode. So yeah, is that something? Do you think?
Well, that's sort of counteract to what we just said, isn't it? A little bit. But I think that the team value point is absolutely, absolutely valid. Mm. I think a lot of people are quite early to, when I first started playing kind of fantasy, when I first started getting involved in Scout with Mark back in the day, I came into it going, I played Telegraph Fantasy. I'm a bit of a football expert. I'll know this. And then within kind of weeks, I realised just how out of my depth that was. But people going, well, which alternating goalkeepers are you using? And then the price thing, I didn't even get it when I first went. I didn't realise it was happening. And then you suddenly go, hang on, I can't afford these players anymore. And yeah, you look at most of the people who get a decent rank, not all of them, but we'll definitely play that game. Because obviously, the more value you've got in the bank, you know, the more later in the season you can have those four premiums potentially. And that's a huge difference. Like if suddenly you're going, well, I can't have Salison and Haaland and, you know, Trippier, and another guy can, you're looking at inversely going, wow. So I think that's absolutely right. Early on, try and capture the value. And the price changes this year. I don't know if it's just like recency bias, but it feels like they were more swingy, more aggressive in terms of the changes.
I think they always seem every year. I think when you don't make the move, then it always seems more aggressive. But I remember one year.
Yeah, the players I didn't buy always went up in value. Why is that?
But I mean, that's a case in point this week. So Salah is off to AFCON. Bowen is a popular replacement. I'm considering getting Bowen in for Salah. I've already lost 0.3. If I'd have done that move at the weekend, I'd be 0.3 more in the bank for me, because Bowen's
how
gone
much
up.
Has Bowen gone up two already? 0.2.
Bowen has gone up twice now. He went up last night, and Salah has gone down one. So,
well, that's something I'm considering as well. So that's not ideal. Yeah, I've been thinking about that. The Salah and Son. Mm-hmm. I've got both Salah and Son at the moment. Well, I'm glad I kept him for last game week, but I you know, and I don't have Haaland. So I've got a lot of, you've got Haaland, I think, on your.
But so I mean, I did a tweet yesterday, just about that issue, and I was saying, you know, why I'm not actually making that move now. I mean, I could have made that move and got 0.3, or you know, even now and got 0.1 or 0.2, but I'm not getting an immediate because I'm just undecided, because I don't know whether Bowen's going to be amazing with Kudos gone. I don't know whether Phil Foden's going to be a better option for me.
I don't know.
So I'm just undecided. Pascal Gross is in the running for me.
Yeah, Gross is in my thinking as well. And we've also got the cup matches, right?
Yeah.
So you know, the worst thing that happens, if you go early to transfer, that player, as you talked about, I think before we were praying about Tom going early on Reece James, injured pretty much straight away. And then you're kind of, I've wasted one transfer already. And at the moment, most people are probably thinking they've got to make two or three, probably three transfers if they want to get Haaland back in. People take him out. A lot of people have, in short order. Like a lot of people, the template team would have been recently not to have Haaland, but to have Salah and Son. Yeah. Now, you've got to change that round. And so, unless you're wildcarding, which I think it's probably a bit early to do that, you're going to have to do. So you don't want to waste one of those transfers.
At this point here, the Wilshere makes, that information starts to trump value. And that's the case because you mentioned the cup games, and that's a good chance to plug one of our videos next week, which will be deadline dilemmas. Now, Praz is our resident fixture expert. He likes to take the as he calls it, the helicopter view of the fixtures coming up. And I understand the next week, well, I was speaking to Rich, and he was saying that next week's show, he's really going to be looking at that, because this week we're going to get loads of information about blank game weeks and double game weeks, because we're going to have League Cup outcomes, we're going to have FA Cup outcomes, and that's going to decide. So we might get
There's going to be a lot. And you can have people, as you say, people, you've got potential for injuries, and you've got, as you say, you might find out more information, like to find more information about the first few doubles. So and that should be impacting your big decisions, right? The thing I'm still working out, which is a thing, again, I think it's a few people have done it, is exact. I know that there's an article on the site, is when Salah and Son are like to come back, because it's not actually missing as much football because of it's quite a few breaks. They might not be missing as much football, many game weeks as we're kind of thinking. So that's another problem you're going to have.
Yeah.
Kind of two or three game weeks down, you're going to have to then get them back in. And it's a bit of a tricky time at the moment, I think. There's a bit to be navigated.
Yeah, so for example, Man City could get a double. So a Man City midfielder could be much more profitable in the next few weeks than getting Bowen in. I don't know. But we don't know until we get the weekend. So information. Bowen's gone up twice now. I think he can go up one more, but that's very rare. I seem to remember Edin Dzeko doing that at Man City.
Yeah.
Not that I particularly wanted him at that time.
But equally, we'd like that. I mean, you know, I think the people who haven't done Bowen, I would just say that's probably a pretty safe transfer. Bowen's kind of one of those players that's never injured for long if he is. He's like Saka, if he can walk, you know. So I think, and if you're going to get a West Ham player, Bowen's always going to be there or thereabouts in the points. Kudus has been coming in, being very influential. How are they going to play without him? But, you know, West Ham have been doing really well recently.
Exactly. I mean, I'll probably end up doing that move, and I'll be, well,
Sam. I could be 0.3. I mean, the thing is also, you might not be quite 0.3 because it depends how, when you've got Salah.
It does. Salah
hasn't actually gone down in terms of my sale value yet. No. He's gone down 0.1, but because of when I bought him, the actual sale value, because you only get half of the sale value.
I think that's the same with Son. I think Son's gone down, or is about to. And I'm in the same position. I haven't lost anything there, but I have with Salah. But I don't mind. Okay.
It's all right. It's 0.1, right? And as you see, we've probably got enough now. Unless you want to try and get Trippier and all the other people in. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Your team.
Do we have to do that?
Whereabouts are you? I'm not going to put your team up, but you can just say where you are in the rankings. And
I'm probably about 550,000 at the moment.
Okay.
And it's a bit of a tale of woe. Usually the way my seasons work is I come in hard early on, either because I follow a lot of the information like the pre-season guide and stuff and I'm really engaged at the start, like most people are, or I'm just lucky. I don't know. Either, probably a bit of both. And I start really well, and I'm doing quite well. I'm competitive, and then I get up towards Christmas. And I do some crazy knee-jerk decisions, and then it falls away. And then I have to rescue at the end. That's pretty much been the story of my season. My best finish ever was about top 5,000. When that didn't happen, I kind of I held off my urges, and I didn't. And I watched the EO, and I didn't I didn't get annoyed because I've missed one player out and have to change it all around.
So what's your...
And then the season after, I've got to say a story. The season after, I had this best season finish ever. Season after, at Christmas, I was like 4,000 something. But I was getting annoyed because I wasn't really getting anywhere. And I had like a Spinales Silva rather than something. I had the wrong Man City midfielder. And there's a few players who just were right team, wrong player.
Yeah.
And then I had this, I'm an Everton fan and obviously prone, as you can see behind here, prone to madness because of that. And it was basically, there was a spectre that Everton might have two double game weeks back to back. So get game because of games all held off for various reasons. And it looked like it might happen. And so I went in and I thought, and Everton was starting to, under Benitez, starting to kind of turn around a bit. And I went in and I think I went on an early wildcard triple Everton. That did not, I know you'll be surprised, Joe.
Yeah.
But that did not go as well as it might have done.
You know, it never has. That happened last season. Everyone piled into Everton and thought, oh, hang on a minute, they're actually rubbish.
And it was last year. And then I ended up about 60,000 last year. Yeah. But so usually that's the arc. And this season, I started okay. I started not as well as usual, but okay. And the mid-season was meh. And then I was just kind of creeping up to where was I getting up to? I was getting up to like, mid 400,000. So I was thinking my aim by New Year is to get close to 100,000. Obviously we want to hit top 10k whatever. And then it just every week it was just like a bit down and then or very small green. It was just that I didn't quite have the right player. I was looking good midweek and then someone did some crazy haul that I didn't have. And I don't know. I've just been constantly off it a little bit. A bad team. I look at my team each week, I'm quite happy with it. But then it's just, there's one player I've not got.
Well, that's it. Okay. I'll put these stats up now and then you can tell me your first resolution. Okay. But yeah, you say I did some analysis using the FPL Statistico tool and I'll put a link into the notes. And that that shows that your actual captaincy points as a percentage of your highest possible captaincy points, basically have you picked the best captain in your team each week, is 58%. And that's about the same as Lee, who is Lee Bonfield from FPL Family, who was on earlier this week. And he's about 500,000 places above you.
All right. So he's 50K.
The point I'm making is you've actually been good with your captain. You haven't been poor with your captaincy decisions. In terms of your transfers, your strategy as well, the most transfers you made by position is within midfield, which is great because you really want to be agile and getting onto those midfield bandwagons quick, because they're the ones where you get all the points. Now, we had Tom's one earlier this week, and you mentioned about Reece, he got Reece James in, and he'd wasted transfers or getting in an injured player like Reece James and getting him out again, whereas that hasn't been a problem with you. So first resolution is, what are you going to do differently? Because it seems like you're actually doing okay strategy-wise, but something's not quite there.
Yeah, I mean, I did, because you said this to me, and I was looking at it, I was thinking, I'm not that unhappy with my midfield and my forward line, right? I've got most of the good midfielders. Mm-hmm. I don't always have the right one or back the right one that's captain, but 58% is a pretty good captaincy, right? That's better than throwing a dart.
That's way better than me. Yeah, way better.
Yeah, so I went through and did a bit of a points analysis thing, which I don't usually do, and this is definitely a thing I'm going to be doing in the future, but earlier on, because... Yeah. And I looked at it, I was going, well, where is it failing? Because I think I'm doing all right, but I'm clearly not. And it's kind of defence and goalkeeper are both poor. And people would say, don't waste too much time in transfers focusing your goalkeeper. Mm. It's a lottery, blah, blah. And I haven't done that. I haven't really looked at it this year. And I've continued with a failing defence. So my goalkeeper average points over the season this year is 2.3.
Right. So who's to blame? So
I started with Pickford, which a lot of people did, didn't work, right? Yeah. I mean, Pickford had a better period later on, but I started with Pickford and Turner, and I went to Flecken and Turner, because I remember happy days Brentford, and at the time Flecken was all right. And I've got 2 6-pointers, but otherwise it's 0 to 2 and occasional threes. It's just, I've either picked the wrong one, or I've just not good. So that my first kind of resolution is to kind of avoid keeper calamities, is how I'm doing it.
Okay.
Give you a nice alliteration. I've really got to think about the keeper a bit more. And I know I can't make a change until I've sorted out the midfield, but that is something where I've just kind of persisted with it and not really focused.
So have you still got Turner and Flecken then?
I've moved to Dubravka.
Okay.
And then, of course, I didn't play Dubravka against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Why would you play Dubravka against Liverpool?
And so who else have you got?
So it's Flecken.
Oh, Flecken. So, okay. Yeah, so...
I moved from Turner to Dubravka when Turner stopped playing. Right?
Okay.
Or round about that time. When Turner was alternated for Forest, and we weren't sure he was going to play. So I moved to Dubravka. And I got 1 6-pointer, I think, out of Dubravka. I've missed the main hauls. I'd certainly missed his penalty save and all that.
I mean, I think with my... I mean, so I've got Dubravka and Areola. So obviously this week Areola did better. But... The reason I bring that up is that on the whole, Dubravka and Areola hasn't really been very good for me. They both conceded a lot. The best goalkeeper I've had this season, and I got rid of him on my Game Week 8 wildcard, was Onana at Manchester United, that people will find strange. Yeah. But he was the only one getting clean sheets. And I had him in the Sky. I've had him in the Sky game all the time. He's been great.
You know, I've been pretty mediocre, but they were doing that whole thing that they used to under Fergie. People forget how mediocre at times United were under Fergie. They just would be able to win 1-0, and that's what they were doing. But he's obviously, you can't have an Onana's. He's got one more game, isn't he? Then he's off to the AFCON.
I think he's off now. He's gone. Playing gone.
Because there's a confusion about that, because I read something the other day that they'd done some agreement that he would play the next game week and go on the 14th.
Oh, maybe.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's on our channels or somewhere else. So I'm
okay. Right. Yeah. Do check Fancy Football Scout.
So double check that, because there was some discussion in the channels yesterday about whether Onana should be red carded or not, because there was a bit of a hoo-ha between United and in the National Federation.
Okay. So first resolution is...
Avoid keeper calamity. So I basically got to be more conscious of my keepers, I guess.
Okay.
And just stop putting it aside and see that that's an area... Okay. I don't have to be getting 6 points every week. I don't have to be getting all the hauls. But if I'm only getting twos or zeros that's not really enough. That is one part of your squad that's just not working. So I need to try and look at that. I'm not saying there are brilliant. I mean, Areola for you, if you've had in the last three game weeks, my God, that's huge. He's got
well,
like 30.
Except I benched him twice.
Okay. He could have got 30 points.
I could have got what I could have got. But that's why I liked an Arna. I just played him all the time. Martinez.
This segues into my second.
Oh,
see.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So do it to come together. Also, yeah. So don't ignore dodgy defense. So again, keep where I've lost my points, or where I've not got points, has been keeping defense. The average point per keeper is 2.3. The average per defender is 3.05. So it's about 3 points average per game, per player. Which sounds great. I've had a few kind of holes in that, but like I've had like so many weeks where I've got like 4 points from the entire defense. Last week I got like zero, I think. I had Gusto, Trent, and who's the other one? I can't remember, Shah or someone. I just like it was just nothing. And I've had a few kind of holes, so it's kind of bounced out a little bit more. But I persisted with Anderson at Palace, who hasn't done anything for me for ages.
Still in my team.
Yeah, I know, but early on, I just kind of had him at the wrong time, I think, and I kind of went to him a bit late, and it was too. And then Palace had a bad form, and I just not really paid enough attention. I just kind of I've kind of looked at it and go, well, my midfield's smashing it, so I don't really need to worry about these things. And that's obviously a transfer issue. But had I probably, I didn't go with Trippier either. I never went Trippier. I went Trent. Yeah. And that's been good, but Trippier, I never went.
Okay.
And I had Shah and Botman at one point. And then Botman got injured, and then I didn't go to the sales or anything. I had Shah. And Shah has just basically been the unluckiest. So, he's the guy that goes off when they get a clean sheet.
So
going back
to your stats there, so in reverse of what Tom did, Tom spent a lot of time on defenders too much, but getting the sort of wrong ones in. You sort of need to spend more time on your goalkeeper and defender, just one goalkeeper transfer. So and defence as well, five. So in your case, it's the reverse. You needed to pay a bit more attention to it.
A little bit more balance. I don't think I'm going to swing it entirely because, as you rightly said when we were talking, like the maximum points are likely to come from midfielders and defenders, right? Midfielders and forwards. But the defenders, and this year, and I think it comes a little bit down to the extra time as well. Mm. I think defenders, I don't know if he's looked at it, but like there seems to be a lot more late yellow cards. You know, there's a lot less, it feels like there's less clean sheets. That could be nonsense, but it feels that way. I think because, you know, you play an extra 10 minutes, it seems to be every game, you know, if you add extra first, you know, maybe more, then, you know, that's when the legs are tiredest and when lazy, you know, last ditch challenges come in and when you're more likely to get a card, and it's more likely defenders that are staying on the whole match, right? So I feel there's something in that, but I also think I've just not, I know that I've not really cared about it.
Okay, so defenders, have you got Pedro Porro in your team?
I don't know.
Right. Okay.
Get him.
Have you got Alfie Doughty in your team?
Oh, I have to say, I've already, in polite conversation, I have given you the props for this. Incredible. Yeah. What a pull. What a call. But you're just like, I was going, what is that? Luton defender? What is he doing?
The reason I mentioned them.
He scores his first goal next week. Unbelievable.
So the reason I mentioned those two players is because they're the ones that I enjoy owning. So I get more fun out of it. It's a fun game.
Because they're attacking, right? It's attacking. Rich James. You're getting him, and Trent to a degree. You're getting them, and Trippier, I suppose. They're defenders you get as much for their
attacking. Exactly. So I don't expect a clean sheet from either of those two players. Yet they're in my defence. Luton will have a period every game, no matter who they play, of 30 minutes where Alfie Doughty will unleash about a million crosses. One of them will result in a goal. So he'll get an assist at some point or get near to it. Pedro Porro is constantly attacking, constantly shooting, crossing. And while Maddison's out, he's on set pieces. So the reason I mention those two is they're a really good way of beefing up your defence.
No, 100%. And I'm certainly aware of Porro. I was only aware of Doughty because of you and then following up afterwards. I wouldn't have really twigged it, to be honest.
So that's that. There are two players. But so, yeah, it's that. So perhaps that would help with that resolution with you is to go for, I mean, yeah, basically Alexander-Arnold, really, but cheaper.
I've got Trent. I've got Gusto, who threatened early on to be a replacement, but he seems to be the one that seemed. I think I've got 2-0 pointers off him, which is great. I've got a -2 off him as well, so he's a gift that's not kept on giving. I've got Saliba, which felt like a solid.
I think he's good.
The Arsenal. That was a lucky thing early on. That was the one thing where I feel I've really got from the from the experts on the stream is the last minute where I kind of the Saliba news came out, and I'd done the Gabriel to Saliba move before the deadline, and that obviously worked out that first week or first few weeks certainly. Okay. But yeah, so defence, so goalkeeper and defence, that's the resolution is to obviously when I can actually do that, when I know that my first focus is sorting Salah and Son and Haaland out, is you know, unless I go early wildcard, which I don't think is a great strategy this year. I've done that a lot.
I actually think another good defender you could target as part of that resolution is Carl Walker, because he's starting every match. He's occasionally getting in attacking places, but Man City are going to have a double at some point, probably later this month. And basically, I get the feeling, it's been documented really with Man City, they're entering what has been called death kill mode. They're like,
they've been
fanning around with losses and draws, and now it's just like, right, down to
business. Yeah, it does kind of happen. People forget this happens every season where everybody goes, oh, Man City aren't as good as they used to be, and then they suddenly win like 10 games back.
Okay, they just beat that team 5-0, and they weren't even trying. Oh, dear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, okay, they're good. They're two good resolutions there, and I reckon they're easy to solve. Get fun players in.
So that's kind of one resolution discussion to two, but that's that. So,
okay.
And that does, I don't want to interrupt how your structure, but like it kind of, the Doughty point you make is actually feeds into something that I've been guilty of not doing as much this season that I want to do more, which is to engage more with the members area. You know, I'm co-founder of Scout effectively and have run it for many years. But I've been using a member there a lot secondhand, to be honest. The only reason I really knew about Doughty is because of you mentioned him on the stream and pulling data up. And I know how useful that data is. And I went through periods of using it, and I've just not this year. And I've got to put a little bit more time aside to look at that and try and find something a little bit, you know, try and look for those differentials or back my own hunches or, you know, dispel my own hunches, because you get these things in your head you're convinced of, and then when you actually start looking at the data, you kind of realize, no, that's not quite true. Is that's like that happened last week, but the 7 weeks before that it hasn't happened. So using the members area more is definitely something that I'm gonna use, and particularly from the, you know, looking at predicted points and looking at data and positions. There's a lot of great stuff in there, and you can see where people are playing and how they played against different teams and stuff. So certainly for defenders, looking at those players that, you know, you can identify most of them, but looking at players you don't necessarily know that they are getting further forward, that's a great use of the thing. So I'm going to try and do that, and that's something I will be doing. I'll be looking at a bit more planning of strategy over the next few weeks when we've got a bit more light.
It's a really
time.
Easy. I mean, because of doing the videos and the content and things like the goals imminent table I've created, but I've got basically three pages of, in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, so those that don't know, do urge people to have a look at the offers there. The you can create your own tables, so I've got tables on best goalkeepers, amount of saves or attacking defenders, you know, in terms of expected goal involvement for defenders, and you can sort it by 2 weeks, 4 weeks, last 4 weeks, last six matches, whatever, whole season. And I've got overall ones as well, like those goals imminent ones, but also ones just look at expected goal involvement, all players, all season, all last couple of weeks or so. So I've got about three pages of them, and so I have to keep searching through it all to find my ones. But for someone who, like yourself, who sort of perhaps doesn't have the time to do all of that and to just do it quickly, is just make a quick table and look at it after the matches, every Monday or Tuesday. Something FPL General does, he always goes out and he reads it out on his podcast and his on General's orders as well, the stats that caught his eye. And simply make a table. Just do one. Just do expected goal involvement, all players. See who was good that week. And you can expand it to other things, put shots and chances created and all the little details. But the big one, really, I always think, is expected goal involvement. And that's the one you want. And that does throw up your Pedro Porros, Trippier that everyone knows about, Alfie Doughty that no one knew about, but now they do, and those kinds of things. And it throws
you must be kind of, it's gratifying and annoying, isn't it? It's a bit like when you go, I was into that indie band when, you know,
I loved
it. I knew them before they were cool.
I loved Alfie Doughty's first album, but it went downhill after that. But yes.
it's brilliant. I think I had Bell at the start of the season just because it was, he was a, you know, it was a like a fodder for the 4 million defender that was likely to play, and I think he got injured who didn't play, so it was kind of pointless the whole thing. But yeah, I'm not averse to owning Luton players, and they're making a fist of it. As an Everton fan, I find that very annoying because I was hoping they'd just meekly surrender along with Sheffield United and Burnley.
But the thing is with Everton, I think being an Everton fan is in your favour. So you're talking about times when it sort of hasn't been, but I think it is now because Everton are actually quite good from FPL points of view. And I was speaking to Dylan, who has... Harry spoke to him as well, and I mentioned him because at varying points over the last week or two, he's been second, third, and I think he's now 11th in the world. So he's he's in and amongst it. He could win it. But
Go on, Dylan. He's actually going to be joining us through regular.
Great stuff. And I spoke to another one who's higher up as well, Michael, and. The common link between both of them is they sort of have got these players in that perhaps other players haven't got. And in Michael's case, specifically with Everton, he got Decore in. He's the guy that got Decore in. And so as an Everton fan, so he's the kind of, on mine and Tom's goals imminent video we do, that sort of unearths those sorts of players. And he's exactly that kind of player. He's really, really involved. And no one gets him. And then you think, wow. But then when he does get his goal, it's like you get like almost 100% of those points.
And he was our top scorer last year. I mean, not that that was a hard,
I didn't even know
high target, right? But he looks like Inspector Gadget. He's kind of got a bit of those Carlton Palmers about him. He's never quite sure where. But he's in and around the goal. And when he hits it, it's as likely to go scorched into the corner as it is to go, 100 feet over. So... unfortunately he's been injured, so he's out, and that's, I think that's contributed to our recent form. We had a really good fist of it against Spurs and City, to be honest, as much as you can against City. I think Spurs, that could have gone either way, really. We had enough chances, just to put them away. City, we were 1-0 up by half time. It's the hope that gets you right. You dare to drink, succumb. Against Wolves, we were dire, so I'm kind of hoping. Direwolves. I'm hoping we are going to pull it back. I mean, I think the spirit's good, and the first team squad is half decent. Mikulenko's an interesting option as well defensively.
Yeah, exactly.
He has a lot, gets forward a lot, and he has a go pop at goal, and he's scored.
A player that we've been highlighting, me and Tom, early in the season, McNeil. It's very much Harrison now. We're looking at.
Harrison kind of looks a. Looks a better player often, but McNeil seems to be, when he gets on that left, he seems to just be able to smash it into
it's
a corner
commanding.
From nowhere. I think they're both good options. The problem is it's midfield, right? That's the problem. I know that you're saying a guy that's, but it's so hard to go, Farmer. Maybe now with two. Heavy hitters going out, so time to
Here's a good strategy that me and Tom both do. Well, Tom did it first and I copied him. But it was something years ago we did a Meet the Manager video. I did it with Tom, and his main takeaway is midfield, don't mess around. Get your premiums, get your template, but have one spot that you play each week, which is your risk, which is your low owned, which is the one that no one's thinking of, and keep it out. And that's something I've done each year. So I've done this season. So I've got your Sons and your Salas and all that business, but I've had a Dingra.
He'll have done well for you.
And he did well. And on that theme with Brighton, a bit like with Everton, they tend to get ignored by fantasy managers. Yeah. So their ownership is low. Pascal Gross was the highest scoring Brighton midfielder last season, going under. It's just boring FPL point accumulation.
Is he on set pieces as well sometimes?
He's on corners and free kicks, definitely.
I've had Gross in previous years. I think maybe the best year ever. I think
ticks along.
Everybody gets very excited by Matoma. Mm. This year I've owned Matoma and I've owned Ferguson. I started off with João Pedro, who looked great and then just didn't play. He's got first week at some point and then you couldn't predict when he's going to play. Same with Ferguson. I kind of got him in as a, I think it was on Baker for Scout Picks thing, and he's just not, just don't know if he's going to play or not. So,
okay. I mean, just on this theme, really, I don't know if you had another resolution because I can.
I have sort of two more, but I can.
Go for it. I was just going to quickly say, just on that point with the what you were talking about, getting smarter with sort of data and my sort of tip, which I hope you go for, is something is do have a player, do have a Decore, have a space in your team for a Decore and a Dingra, whatever. And looking at the fixture ticker on Fantasy Football Scout in the members area, sorted by difficulty from now until game week 27, this is currently, you know, without blanks or doubles that we know about, Brighton are top. So your likes of Pedro,
Gross,
good. Aston Villa are next as well. So Douglas Luiz, these sorts of players.
I had Diaby a lot of the time, and then he just kind of went off the boil.
Weirdly, Sheffield United, a third as well. So they might, McAtee is really good on loan for Man City. Yeah. Really good. Yeah. Liverpool, you got your Jota. No one's got Jota. I mean, there's players there who are quietly doing well. And a low own. But anyway, what's the next one then?
Can we just break 1 second?
Oh, yeah.
You might have to stitch this bit just because.
Oh, I can't.
The power, break. I've just noticed my power getting the red.
I can't actually break it or stitch it. So can we just kind of roll through it?
Okay, if I break off. So very quickly then, two things. Kind of the same thing. Back punches more, not the herd. That kind of goes with what you're saying about having a thing. My best season ever. I got into live FPL a lot, and the EO curse, mm-hmm. where you know you're just when you're doing quite well as well, you panic about taking mm-hmm. risks and that. So, and I think I've overdone that, and now when I think I've got an instinct to go somewhere, and Decore was people I was looking at. There's a few different players I've looked at. I haven't moved to, and I've got but that could be a big be a big return, but then I'm going to lose this player who's so highly owned at the halls. I'm knackered. So that's so don't panic about EO,
okay,
and back hunches. And the other thing is kind of not, I won't say knee jerking, it's a bit boring, none of us should knee jerk, it's a terrible thing, but do not make deadline changes based on influencers. Now obviously we're an advice site and fans of the game, but so many times I've kind of been sitting there, had my team lined up, and I've watched some of ours or someone else's feed at the last minute, and I've gone, oh god, and they've gone, oh, so and so, we haven't got, and I've looked at their team and gone, I haven't got him, and suddenly I've changed either my captaincy or and just those last minute decisions almost always mm-hmm. bite you in the backside, or maybe you only remember when they bite you in the backside, but I just have a bit more courage, convictions, and not be kind of swayed. Obviously if it's a team leak and you're absolutely certain your player's not starting, mm-hmm. that's one thing, but if it's just like, oh, everyone's, all the influencers are backing blah blah this week, and you're going, well, I'm sure so and so, you know, Son's going to outscore him. Why am I going to sell now? Then I think that is something I'm going to try and not be influenced by.
Yeah, definitely. Play your own game, but also have a Decore state of mind. In your case,
a Decore state of mind. Yeah,
yeah, which is a great team name.
So that's it. That's it for me, really, I think.
Yeah.
So,
okay, brilliant. Excellent. These are really good resolutions. I hope we've given everyone a lot of advice. I think they chime with a lot of people. And also, I hope we've got some tips for people as they go ahead for Game Week 21 and 2024 in general. Chris, thanks so much for joining me. They've been a great bunch of resolutions there. And hopefully they put in action and you shoot up the rankings.
I almost certainly won't. Okay. But thank you for that. Okay. Yes.
Thanks a lot for your time. See you soon.
Cheers.